Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. It feels good to be free. Amen? It feels good to be free. Now, if you were driving on Cape this week, you probably didn't feel much freedom on the road. But this past Thursday, what did we celebrate? We celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day. And I'm wearing my 4th of July shirt today with the bomb pops and the Statue of Liberty on them. We've sang a lot of songs today about freedom. And if we just take a moment and think about America and our country and the blessing it is to be an American and the freedom that we have in our country and all that many, 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 many thousands and thousands, millions of people went through so that we could have freedom. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing thought. I'm not a crazy big history buff, but I know enough to know that there was a group of people at one point in time that wanted to be able to worship freely. So they got on a boat and they came over. America was here and they started a new country. It's amazing. And then even when Great Britain and the British still wanted to kind of control, we know that then there was the Revolutionary War. We could talk forever about all the history about it. But people fought and bled and died so that America could exist. And then as time went on, throughout the 1800s and 1900s with the World Wars and things like that and soldiers of the Vietnam War and all these different things, soldiers that gave their lives so that we could have freedom. And unfortunately, there was still a time, even in the 1900s, after maybe America had freedom, that there were still many people that didn't have the freedoms that all Americans did. The 60s, things like that, people, still there was a group of people that didn't have the freedoms that they deserved. Freedom has always been a part of our country. I would say that the majority of everybody in here, maybe not everybody, obviously some of the younger ones, but most of us were alive and remember where exactly we were on September 11th, 2001. I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I was going to a small Christian academy in Westfield, Massachusetts, just about 30, 40 students at our Independent Baptist Church. And they made us come in early from recess, and we didn't know why. I was kind of annoyed that we had to come in early from recess. But I remember getting there, and just there was a soberness. It was right in the basement of the church, not a very big thing at all. And some of the upperclassmen were just gathered around a little radio listening. And I'm glad that they did this. I'm glad that the teachers had the foresight to do this, but they got a little TV, they brought it over, and they got an antenna set up, and we watched the events unfold that day. I was able, as a child, to kind of witness this and watch it really go down, and then we ended up going upstairs with a bigger TV, and we saw all this happen in real time. And do you remember, in the days following, just the patriotism that just was everywhere. People with the flags on their cars. There'd be people just on the side of the road just waving flags. And there was just this sense of pride in our country. And really this, I guess, what's once taken for granted, now suddenly we weren't. Maybe the safety of America and the safety of our freedoms. And suddenly that was jeopardized in a way. And suddenly freedom became very important to us, our patriotic freedom and as a country. The book of Exodus, really, the name of the book is exactly what the book's about. It's about God's chosen people, the Israelites, being enslaved by Egypt, this wicked country, and God bringing them out of Egypt, this exodus out of Egypt, delivering them from Egypt. God's people were enslaved. They were oppressed. They were trapped. They had no freedom. But that's really what this book is about. And really, can I say, that's really what this whole book is about. Freedom, not as a country, but freedom from ourselves, freedom in Jesus Christ. Freedom through Jesus. We sang about it today, the freedom that he gives. And the truth is, for many people, some, many in this room, and some even on this platform, know what it's like to live in bondage to sin. Many of you today know exactly what it feels like to be enslaved by sin, enslaved and in bondage to addictions or to your past or to some other thing. You know what it feels like to feel like you have no freedom spiritually. I know what it's like to feel like I have no freedom spiritually. I know what it feels like to be in bondage to sin. But praise God, I also know what it's like to be freed from bondage, to be freed from addictions. The sermon today is, and really, we don't have really any slides today. I want you just to hone in today, is the God who sets free. The God who sets free. There's Bible, if you have a Bible, awesome. If you don't, there should be a few loose Bibles kind of in the chair in front of you. Those are for our church people. Why don't we go to Exodus together? If you don't have a Bible or can't get to one or can't use one on your phone, that's fine. I'll be reading some scriptures today, many scriptures today. But Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So if you open your Bible, the Bible in the beginning, and it says Genesis, go about 50 chapters and you'll get to Exodus. And that's where we're going to be in Exodus. And I'm going to break down the book a tiny bit. I kind of told you what the whole general idea of the book was, this account of God's people being delivered from Egypt. But it's important to know why they were even in Egypt. And it says in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." Now I say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you what it means. The whole latter part of the book of Genesis tells the story of a man named Joseph. And one of God's chosen people, and Joseph, it's a long story, we'll do a whole sermon series on it, but long story short, Joseph was thrown in a hole by his brothers because they were jealous of him. He was sold into slavery in Egypt. He was in one of the higher-ups in Egypt as a slave, but he loved God, he honored God, he did the right things, and he was promoted. Then he was lied about and thrown in prison for 2 years, and then God finally delivered him out of there. Long story short, at the end, now Joseph, this, not an Egyptian, but a Jew, one of God's people, is suddenly second in command over all Egypt. And there was famines in the land that Joseph, through the power of God and God giving him wisdom to interpret the dreams of the Pharaoh, the king, was able to help many people not die of starvation through the famine because they prepared. God used the life of Joseph in a great way. And by the way, this is not the message. God used the trials and tribulations of Joseph in his life. So before you go thinking that God does not care about what you're doing or what you're going through, look at the life of Joseph and all that he faced and all the wrong that was committed against him and how Joseph, near the end of his life, said, "God, brothers, you threw me in a pit and sold me into slavery and treated me terribly, and you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good," is what Joseph says. Amazing story. So now Joseph is in Egypt, and he's one of the main leaders in Egypt. But, like everybody, Joseph dies. And it says in verse 8, a new king was there over Egypt. And guess what? He didn't know Joseph. He probably didn't really care who Joseph was. And verse 9 says, he said unto his people, the other Egyptians, and his authorities in the kingdom there, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them," verse 10, "lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." He's like, listen, there's a lot more Israelites than there are Egyptians. So we better take care of this issue. Because if there's another one of our enemies that comes up to war against us, the Israelites might just join with them, and they're more than we are anyway. And they'll defeat us, verse 11. "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses." So the people of God, God's chosen people, who by the way were promised by God, a covenant made from God to his people, freedom and land and Now they're suddenly slaves in Egypt. And not like I'm talking like burdened, working to death. Taskmasters above them, whipping them. I mean, it's not good. Chapter 2, we find out about Moses, who was born a Jew, one of the Israelites. See, in the end of chapter 1, Pharaoh had said, you know what? These Israelites are growing too fast. So I want us to keep an eye on these Israelite women having kids. And if it's a girl, it's okay. But if it's a boy, we need to kill him. I mean, it got really, really, you talk about, it was bad, man. It was bad. At the end of chapter 1, it says, the last verse of chapter 1, Pharaoh charged all his people saying, every son that is born, he shall cast into the river. Awful stuff. He's trying to protect himself. Chapter 2, though, Moses is born. He was one of those ones that was supposed to be thrown in the river, but his mother hid him. If you've seen The Prince of Egypt, which is a great movie, by the way, it tells a lot of this story. He puts Moses in a little basket down the river. His sister keeps an eye on him, and that little basket with the baby Moses comes up, and it's the Pharaoh's daughter that finds him. So this must be one of the Israelite babies, wants to keep him. So now this baby boy, God, listen, if you ever wondered if God's writing your story, just read this. This is incredible. And now Moses, a Israelite, is growing up in the house of Pharaoh. God's going to use him. He may not know it yet. Moses grows up. He's in the Pharaoh's house. He starts to recognize that his people are the ones being oppressed and afflicted and persecuted and made slaves. And he starts to kind of realize this is not good. He ends up killing an Egyptian, one of the Egyptian taskmasters that was messing with one of the people and hides it. And then they listen, it's all a wild story. I wish I had more time to really break it down, but I don't. Either way, Moses, after he kills this Egyptian, is suddenly, even his own people see him. There's two Israelites fighting, and Moses goes up to him and says, why are you fighting? He says, what, are you going to kill us now too, like you killed that guy? And Moses is like, uh-oh, everybody knows. He leaves, he runs off. God puts him in the right place, and he becomes a shepherd. And one day he's out, and in chapter 3 of Exodus, we find Moses keeping the flock of his father-in-law. He had met a girl, he got married. He's on the backside of the desert. He's with his sheep. And verse number 2 of Exodus 3 says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So now God is about to speak to Moses in this burning bush that's not really burning. It's amazing, this miraculous thing. And Moses says in verse 3, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Verses number 5 and 6, he says, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face in verse 6. He was afraid to look upon God. But what does it say in verse number 7? And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and all the rest of these people here. God says, I have heard their cry. I have come down to rescue my people. I have come to bring freedom. Today, church, we're going to pull some truths out of these scriptures and from this story of the Israelites and God's people and their journey to freedom. And with each one, we'll apply it to our journey to freedom as well. Because, church, I'm telling you, I don't want you to live enslaved any longer. I don't want you to be in bondage to sin any longer. I don't want you to be held back by fear and by your past and by addictions any longer, because it is Jesus who can give you freedom. He can give you freedom in your life and in your heart and in your soul. It is the God, He is the God who sets free. So number one, and you can write some of these down if you want. Number one, we saw it right there in verse number 7. God said, I heard their cry. I know what they're going through. And by the way, God hears your cries, and he knows what you're going through, and he knows your afflictions, and he knows your trials. He does care, whether you think he cares or not, he does. And God said in verse 8, I'm come down. I'm coming to rescue them. The first thing is simple. It's just God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free eternally. Yes, he wants to save your soul. He wants to save you from a real place called hell, which is for those who reject God and do not place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God wants to save you, yes, from hell and give you an eternal home in heaven. Yes, he does. But beyond that, even beyond that, God wants to set you free for the here and now in your life. God wants you to be free from your addictions now. God wants you to be free from yourself right now. And even when, church, even when we don't really want to be free, God still wants us to be free. Even when we don't even recognize that we're in sin and that we're in bondage. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I know for a long time, the issues that I struggled with, I said, man, it's really not, I have it under control. It's not that bad. I'm not enslaved to this. I'm not addicted to this. Even when we don't recognize that we're in bondage, God still desires for us to be free, and he will do whatever it takes to get our attention. God wants you to be free. He wants you to experience that freedom that we sang about. My chains are gone. I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness, but I'm living in the light of his goodness. God wants you to experience freedom. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. Chapter 5, and we're jumping through. God says, I want you to go to the Pharaoh, Moses, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. Verses 6 of chapter 5 of Exodus, after Moses says this to him, Pharaoh's like, no, I'm not doing that. Who are you? And what ends up happening is in verse 6, we see that after Pharaoh said, get out of here. Who are you, Moses? I'm not letting God's people go. No. Verse 6, Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, verse 7, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore, like before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore before, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Or he's saying they're just lazy. They're being lazy. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. After Moses goes to Pharaoh, Pharaoh obviously was a man of pride. And when he felt cornered or someone told him what to do, he's like, I'm in charge, buddy. He says, you know what? Now your people, Moses, that you're trying to set free, I'm going to add even more work to them. And instead of us providing the straw for them to make their bricks, now they got to get their straw by themselves. And I'm not lessening the quota. They got to do just as much, if not more, with more work added to it. So the second thing I want to see is, yes, God wants you to be free, but number two, the journey to freedom is often painful. The journey to freedom is often painful. Verse 21 says, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon, this is now Moses is with the Israelites, after now they're put to more work, having to get their own straw to make their own bricks, probably being oppressed in a greater way now. Since Moses said something, verse 21, they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hands. So what are you trying to do, kill us, Moses? Because all you're doing is making our lives worse than they already are. But it was all part of God's story. The journey to freedom is painful. Look at our history as a country. We didn't just become free because we really wanted to be free. But people died. Parents lost their children. Kids lost their dads and moms. There are still, my mom's worked at the Soldiers Home in Holyoke for almost 20 years. It's a veterans home. And you go through there, and all these veterans that are struggling with PTSD and all these different things that they haunt them every day. Freedom's not free, is it? Look at our history. How about look at the cross? Freedom from hell for us, for the whole world, so we don't have to perish. It wasn't free, was it? No, Jesus faced so much. Talk about pain. Not even just the cross, but everything before the cross. We talked all about it on Good Friday this past year. We had our worship night on Good Friday. What a great night that was. We talked about all that Jesus faced as he was whipped, as he was made fun of, as he was spit upon, as his beard was ripped from his face. He carried that cross up the hill, was nailed to a cross, was stabbed in it. Listen, all that he faced, the journey to freedom is often painful. Our freedom in Christ came at a cost. It was a high price. And church, when you want to have and experience freedom in your life as a Christian, that road to freedom is painful. Listen, you want to come out of addictions? There's going to be some people that have been hurt in the wake of your addictions. Hey, you come in clean and being honest and open about your struggles with other people that love you. Hey, there's going to be some pain in that. There's going to be some tears shed. There's going to be some broken hearts and all that. But I promise you, although the road to freedom is painful, it is worth it. Although it hurts, the journey to freedom is worth it. Freedom does come at a cost. It does come at a sacrifice. But we must not let that stop us from being free. It's a better life. I call him Big Dan last week. And I said, you want to say anything before I baptize? And that's what he said. He said, I just want to thank God. And Dan's been through a lot. If you don't know Dan, he's not here. He probably has something to do with his son. That's fine. If you don't know Big Dan, you need to meet that. You need to know that guy. He's awesome. And Dan says, you got anything to say, Dan? And I know Dan's story. He's been through a lot. Suffered a lot of loss in his life. And how the Lord brought him to our church is nothing short of amazing and miraculous. But he said, oh, I love it. After he got in, it was so freezing, he was cold. But he said, I just want to thank God for saving me. And then almost like a toast, he said, to better days. I said, man, you're right, man. Because freedom is a better life. It's a better life. The journey to freedom is often painful. We see it in this passage. These Israelites are being worked even harder, but freedom's coming. Number three, it is ultimately God who gives freedom. We know that. That's what we're talking about. It is God who gives freedom, but he calls us to take steps. Chapter 13, we're skipping over a lot of stuff, but after Pharaoh said, no, dude, I'm not letting the people go. The 10 plagues came. Lots of crazy stuff. God sent a plague of frogs. Frogs filled all of Egypt. A plague of locusts all throughout Egypt. The water, the Nile River was turned to blood. There was darkness. 10 plagues just to try to get Pharaoh's attention. And still, through the first 9, he kept saying, no, no, no. He tried to give a little bit. Well, listen, you can go, but just don't go too far, is one of the ones. And he's like, no. And he just kept backtracking. The last plague was the death of the firstborn, of all those who did not put the blood over their doorframe. And a great picture. It's really, we talked about Passover this past year, and that was what Passover is based on, that story, that the angel of death would come, and if there was no blood, if there was blood over the door of that lamb, he would pass over that house. But Pharaoh didn't do that. He lost his firstborn. If I said, get out, just leave, go. So we see through chapter 12 and 13, God's people are leaving Egypt. They're being delivered. And in verse number 17 of chapter 13, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest Peradventure, the people repent when they see war, they return to Egypt. But God led the people about, like around, a longer way, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up and up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. So God led them not through the land of the enemy, because he's like, if they start fighting, they're just going to go back to Egypt. So he led them a long way around towards the Red Sea. And guess what? God's people, they had to step and take those steps and take that journey through the wilderness. God gives us freedom, but he does call us to take steps. We can't just sit down and just expect freedom just to kind of fall upon us. The Israelites still had to follow Moses out of Egypt. They still had to walk to the Red Sea. They still had to go where God was leading them. And by the way, in verse 21, it says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go day and night. So God still was leading them in their steps of following them. We're not just kind of on our own. I'm not saying that. We are taking steps following God. But listen, salvation takes faith. Salvation takes a choice. It says, I believe that Jesus died and he rose again. I'm trusting him with my life. Salvation takes faith. Freedom from sin, yes, it's the power of God. It's the grace of Christ. It's following God's leading to make good choices. Any one of us are capable of sin, of any sin. Praise God for freedom from addictions for my life. But listen, church, if I stop following God, if I stop resting in the grace of Christ, guess what? I could fall right back into it. And so could you. Freedom, God gives freedom. And I praise the name of Jesus for the freedom in my life. But he calls us to take steps. He calls us to make choices. He calls us to set up boundaries sometimes. He calls us to set up things in our lives to help ourselves. Following the word of God and doing what it says. God gives freedom, yes, but he calls us to take steps toward freedom. Number four, let's look at chapter 14 of Exodus in verse 10. They've arrived at the Red Sea, and it says that they're on the shore. And guess what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh said, you know what? You know what? I'm annoyed at these Israelites. He had just lost his son, and he says, you know what? I'm going to get those people back. And he brought his chariots and his armies, and they start chasing after the Israelites. The Israelites are kind of backed up to the Red Sea, not really anywhere to go. Men, women, children, all their livestock. Pharaoh and his armies are coming up. God puts his pillar of fire and cloud and kind of protects them. But the Israelites start to get like, what are you doing to us? You brought us out. We couldn't die in Egypt, so we got to die out here now? Number four is this, the journey to freedom. And I know some of you today are feeling this. The journey to freedom can seem impossible. But he is the God of the impossible. He can take what's impossible and make it possible. That's who God is. Verse number 10 of chapter 14, Pharaoh drew nigh. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? In verse 21, we see in Moses, God says, put your staff in the water, Moses, in the Red Sea. Watch what I can do with your impossible. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The journey to freedom can seem impossible. I'll never be free. This will never be over in my life. I'll never get over this. I'll never be able to move past this. I'll never be able to forgive, because some of us are, we're not enslaved by an addiction to sin, but we're enslaved by unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives. I'll never be able to forgive what they did to me. I'll never be able to get over that. I'll never be able to move forward in my life because of what they did. The journey to freedom can seem impossible, like an ocean in front of you that you just can't cross. I don't have the strength to swim across that. I got too much I'm carrying. I can't get across it. But he's the God who makes things possible. And God, just like he split that sea open and the Israelites walked across on this miraculous dry ground with water up on one side, water up on the other side, an amazing miracle. The journey to freedom can seem impossible. But he's the God of the possible. But I know that I'm going to fall again. I may experience a little bit of freedom now, but I know that one day I'm going to give in to that sin again, or I'm going to give in to that temptation again, or I'm going to get upset again. What if I don't stay free? What if I mess up? Fear often keeps us from freedom. Fear often keeps us from freedom. But what will others think? If people know what I've done or what I've been through, or if people just knew, what would they think? What if other people get hurt? That was one of mine for so long when I was burying addictions. I said, man, if I come clean, if I'm honest, so many people will be hurt. And really, that was just self-protection, by the way. Because if I truly cared about the other people in my life being affected by my sin, I would have opened up, been transparent, came clean, and worked through that. But instead, I just stayed buried in my own sin. What if I get hurt? Isn't it just easier to stay where I'm at and just kind of, you know, manage my addictions or manage this bitterness? I'm not bitter every day. It's not like I think about that situation every day, but the second you try to take a step forward in your life, whether it's your spiritual life or just in your life in general, you want to move forward and be better and rest in Christ, that sin, that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness yanks you back to reality. You're enslaved by it. You're held back by it. So, you know, I just can't get rid of it. Don't let fear keep you from being free. Somebody needs to hear that today. Don't let fear keep you from being free. Please, please. The journey to freedom can seem impossible, but he's the God of the possible. And the last one is this. When we get comfortable in our freedom, we take it for granted. When we get comfortable with our freedom, we take it for granted. Psalm 106:7, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read the scripture. Psalm 106:7 looks back at this story, and this is what the psalmist said. He said, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." The psalmist was like, listen, they missed it. Because not long after they're delivered and they walk across the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh's armies start chasing after them into that same dry ground, and then the ocean comes back together, and they all died in the water. And the Israelites were safe. God delivered his people. He brought freedom to his people. But not long after, guess what else is in the book of Exodus? God's people complaining constantly, forgetting what God did for them at the Red Sea, how he brought them out of Egypt. Chapter 14 in verse 10, and we just read this, when he said, you brought us out here to have us die, instead we could have just died in Egypt, we were miserable there, now we're going to just die here. When we get comfortable in our freedom, we take it for granted. We start to live in our own strength. We start to make decisions based on our own knowledge, what we think is best, what we feel is best. We respond to situations with people based on our feelings. Well, they made me feel this way, so I'm going to... We're not really led by the Spirit at all. And the Scripture says in the New Testament, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We take grace for granted. Those new morning mercies that come every day, we take them for granted. And we just kind of waltz through life. We kind of just float through life. You know what else we do, church? Oftentimes, on this journey of life and on this journey to freedom, we take the church for granted. We take God's house and God's people and listen, we take the church for granted after all that God has done. After all the miracles that we've seen, after he has made a way for us, he's made a way, he's provided, he's led, he's answered prayers, after all he's done, we take the church for granted. We take Sunday morning for granted. The time that God has given us to meet with his people, to worship and praise his name. Yes, we can do that in the car by ourselves. I do it all the time. But God has given us an opportunity as a community of believers, as brothers and sisters, to worship and praise God and look at the cross together and rejoice and bear one another's burdens. And guess what? When we get comfortable in our freedom and what God has done, we take things like this for granted. We just do. We take it for granted and our priorities begin to shift. After all that God has done, we lose sight of what he's done, just like the Israelites. Some of you, the only reason that you're where you're at right now in the successes and blessings of your life are because of amazing answered prayers that God's given you. And yet, even though he is the root of all the blessings in our lives, we can't even give him an hour and a half on Sunday morning. Because I got better things to do. Because this or that, fill in the blank. I got family this. I'm tired, whatever it is. We take the church and God's house for granted. We take his grace for granted. God saved me from hell. I'm so glad he saved me from hell. But I got things that I got to do. I got goals that I got to reach. I got to buy this. I don't got time to give to God. Stop taking your freedom in Christ for granted and give him the preeminence. Give him first place in your life. The devil's not an idiot. Listen, he's a jerk, yes, but he's smart and he knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what to do to keep you stale, to keep you kind of no growth. And I promise you, if you're not growing, you're dying. I've seen it a billion times. Don't take that freedom for granted. Give him first place in your life. His words deserve first place. What he says is a whole lot better than what you have to say. It's a whole lot smarter than what you... His purpose for you is a lot better than the purposes that you can come up with on your own. The goals that he has for you are much better than the goals that you can set up on your own. Listen, his house should have first place in your life. His words... Church, listen, please. His way is better than your way. And maybe there's someone here that maybe... That's not you. You're not the one that's taking it for granted. You just have never experienced that freedom. So it's not like you've been set free and now you're taking it for granted like I did for so long. But you're that person that's still enslaved and still in bondage. Jesus can give it to you. From whatever it is that you're enslaved by, whether it's addictions, maybe it is addictions. Come talk to me, please. I'm begging you. There'll be no judgment. Because I've been there. I get it. There's no judgment. Just grace and help. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's money that you're just obsessed with and that you're enslaved by just making that extra dollar, filling that bank account. Maybe you're enslaved by the opinions of other people. That consumes your whole being, what other people think about you. Maybe it's past hurt that holds you back. Isn't it amazing how sometimes you'll do something or you respond a certain way? Like, why did I just respond like that? Why did I just act that way? And you're reminded of a situation from your past, and you're like, oh, I think that's why. The weight of our past can control us if we're not careful. It can control every decision we make. It can control the way we view people. Maybe you're enslaved by your past. Maybe you're enslaved right now by your present struggle. Life's just hard right now for you. It's just hard. It's hard. You don't know if you're going to make it. And you're so gripped by that. You feel like you can't get out. Maybe it's not present struggle, but future worries. You're scared about what's going to happen in the future, worried what's going to happen. Whatever it is, Jesus can give you and wants to give you freedom. He's the God who sets free. So you got to start talking about it. You got to talk to him about it. And you know what? I encourage you to talk to someone else about it too. It's time to get open. Openness leads to brokenness, which is not a bad thing, by the way. And brokenness leads to freedom. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.